with the first pick in the draft, second pick, the third pick, with the fourth pick, the fifth pick.
Here's the pitch. He swings as a long drive to right, and it is a home run for Gibson.
Catch that coming down to the turf. Agnew splitting a couple of tacklers. There he goes, 35-40. He's in the clear. Jamal Agnew, he's gone. 30, 20, 10, 5, end zone. Touchdown, Detroit Lions. How about that, rookie?
You're listening to Fantasy Advice Bros. Here's your host, Ali.
Hi, everybody. My name is Ali. I'm joined by Nader. We are the Fantasy Advice Bros. We will be bringing you NBA fantasy news you can use in both daily and weekly NBA. And Nader, as the year is winding down, I have the last 2 weeks of December off of work. Are you taking a lot of holiday time off?
Oh, I'm getting as much as I could in right now. I have a ton left over from work, so I'll be enjoying the house and a vacation coming up here in January as well. I want to say I got close to 3 or 4 weeks off within the next 2 months, so I'm kind of excited for that.
And your management's okay with your Black Friday Expedia experience, taking a trip in January, you said?
Yes. They basically allow me to do whatever I
want. It's been approved.
Yes.
So it's been notarized. It's approved. You're on your way.
Yes, excited.
I just hope you bring back any friends of the podcast some gifts from your trip, because we will be jealous of you being gone to a heated place.
Definitely will bring some things back from you. Can't forget about you guys now.
Okay, this is going to be recorded in the archives forever, people. You heard Nader. He said he's doing it. And Nader, while you're gone, you can still continue to use the draft app that we've been using on this podcast for the last few weeks, where using promo code RTNB, you get a $3 first-time deposit. We've been doing five-round, five-people drafts, and it takes us less than 5 minutes, and we usually do it with a friend of the podcast, Mo. It's a lot of fun. Every night is a little bit different because there's different slates of game. And best of all, with the app, with the draft app from draft.com, you can download for NBA or you can do NFL as well. And it's a snake type draft where, using promo code RTNBA, you get a $3 deposit off your first time. And you've used it a few times and you're a big advocate as well?
Yes, definitely. I use it a ton here. I prefer it so much more than like the FanDuel and things of that nature, because I like owning guys that are only pertaining to me instead of having to share a player that we think are going to go off, and it kind of negates the fact that you picked a good player to start. So I definitely advocate it. And hey, there's Wi-Fi over in Mexico where I'll be, so who knows?
And no salary cap. That yes. Makes it a lot funner as well. Okay, let's get into it. We are deep into the NBA season, and we have been telling people about players to pick up, drop, cut, trade for, poach, owners over. I'm assuming you have a big list, and we are going to get started. Who is the first name on your love list for week 8 of the NBA season?
So we got a good handful of players to pick up because these guys are still playing well and could definitely help your fantasy teams. The first one, this is more of a quick reminder again. People got to go pick up Spencer Dinwiddie. I think he's only still 65 to 70% owned. Point guard for the Nets. He is absolutely killing it right now, giving you top 25 to 30 value as a player. He needs to be added ASAP on every fantasy team out there.
Okay, so we mentioned him last week because he is the starting point guard for the Brooklyn Nets. He's currently 69% owned, and D'Angelo Russell had knee surgery a couple weeks ago with an unknown timetable. And when we met last time, you had mentioned that he is basically running the offense exactly the way D'Angelo Russell did. And last week, he averaged 30 fantasy points on 32 minutes of play. Even the week before, when he got the starting job, he averaged 28 fantasy points. So, folks, he's 69% owned. If you're not picking up a guy that's averaging you 30 fantasy points from the point guard position, you have no excuse to not run out to your waiver wire and run out and pick this guy up, because he should be owned in 100% of leagues by now.
Now, look, another also thing which he should be added, D'Angelo Russell will be coming back. But Spencer Dinwiddie right now, since he's been out, has an 8-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio. Compared to Russell's lovely 4-to-3, Russell should really be playing the two guard over there. I have a slight feeling that when he gets back, it's going to be a 1-2 punch of both of them in the starting line, because that'll be formidable backcourt for them. Spencer Dinwiddie has just been amazing and just looks great as well.
Okay, so, but what we're advocating to the people is, while D'Angelo Russell's out, pick up Dinwiddie now. Even when Russell comes back, you're saying hang on to him for at least a week or two to see what the chemistry is like in case the coach makes a coaching change and bumps Dinwiddie to shooting guard.
It would be shooting guard. They're both playing the guard spots. I'm not sure which would do. I'd imagine Dinwiddie would be the point with Russell moving over to the two if he enjoys it. But I still think Dinwiddie's minutes will be there. He just played so well.
Okay, so pick up Dinwiddie, roster him, hang on to him when Russell comes back, and we'll let you know what to do moving forward. Next on the list.
Next on the list. We're going to go someone. It could be just a couple-week add, but he's been playing great and should be added, is Kelly Oubre from the Washington Wizards with John Wall out currently right now. Kelly Oubre is a small forward, but his minutes have jumped up the minute Wall went out because he's a useful and productive player at this point. They've been going a lot bigger these days without Wall. So with Beal at the point and Oubre at the three with Porter at the four using him, he's been great lately. I actually just picked him up now. He should be useful next couple of weeks over here.
So Kelly Oubre Jr. is the... is 45% owned, and his minute uptick is because John Wall is out, right?
Correct.
And what is Wall's timetable? Do you know that?
They said anywhere between two to four weeks.
Okay. And last week, Kelly Oubre Jr. averaged 25 fantasy points, and it looks like since John Wall's been out, he's averaging about 27 minutes of playing time, which is fantastic. These are things we talk about all the time as minutes to fantasy points, and are you taking space on the court or not? And he's filling up a stat sheet, right? And he's not playing the point guard. He's playing the shooting small forward. But he's scoring points, getting rebounds, getting assists, some steals, very low on turnovers. So definitely worth an add. You're thinking it's not sustainable. It's just until John Wall comes back. But between now and after Christmas, he's worth owning.
Yes, that's exactly what the case. He was doing well as a real NBA guy on the team. But as far as fantasy, he was doing all right and wouldn't be rostered earlier. But for the time being, he should be rostered.
Okay, good enough. Who's next on your list?
Next on the list, I've mentioned him early in this season for the podcast. He's been doing all right, but his minutes should go up right now. And is Jonathan Simmons from Orlando Magic. And that's because Terrence Ross is out for a significant amount of time with a knee injury. Jonathan Simmons' minutes are incredibly high. His minutes don't exactly match his production, but he's doing good enough to be owned on a fantasy team because his minutes are just incredible. It could be close to 35 to 40 minutes at this point.
Yeah, so Jonathan Simmons is 44% owned. He plays two positions, shooting guard, small forward. And you are correct. He is averaging about 35, last week, 35 minutes. The week before that, 30.
That's when Terrence Ross was still playing. Terrence Ross has been out two games now, and I believe he's 38 and 39 minutes in those two games.
So let me ask you, last week he averaged 20 fantasy points with the 35 minutes, which is really, really a tough ratio. The week before that, when he was only playing just under 30 minutes, he was averaging 17 fantasy points. So with 5 to 6 extra minutes, he's only getting 3 extra fantasy points, which is no good. Do you think Jonathan Simmons has hit his ceiling, or do you think there's more to his potential ceiling once he gets his feet under him?
Anybody playing that much and is a wing position, I think his ceiling is going to continue to grow. He has not hit it whatsoever. He's a talented player on a team that needs him, and he's starting now. I think he needs to be added right away.
Okay, so Jonathan Simmons, again, only 44% owned. A lot of ceiling left for the guy. Okay.
Next one, this one, we got a couple of guys. Well, here's another one that should be owned just for, I want to say, the next 3 to 6 weeks due to some injuries, and that's, I believe you picked him up, Ersan Ilyasova.
Oh, yeah.
Ersan Ilyasova is getting about, I want to say, 27 to 30 minutes now. Might be higher some games. Deadman is out for the Hawks. So is, I'm drawing a blank, John Collins. Their power forward, the starting power forward and starting center are both out for an extended period right now, which leaves all those lovely minutes for Ersan Ilyasova to play for the Atlanta Hawks. And so far, he's been doing well, I want to say, the last couple of weeks since he's been inserted in that lineup. And I say he needs to be added because his value's there from a three-point shooting, rebounding, and points value.
Yeah, so let's say a few things here. Ilyasova's 37% owned. Last week alone, since he moved into the position, as Nader said, due to injury, he averaged 27 fantasy points. And Atlanta's a dumpster fire. So he's getting a lot of free reign there, and he's getting a lot of minutes. and the guys playing around him or behind him aren't doing so well, it's probably going to be his job for at least the next month or so. So I figured I'd take a flyer on him, and so far it's paid out in spades. He just missed a double-double the other night by a single point, and I was like, dang it, because we get bonuses on that. But good call, totally agree. Next.
Now, this might be my biggest effort call to pick up. He's available in a ton of leagues. The Memphis Grizzlies also are a dumpster fire at this point right now, but somebody performing in that fire is Jamichael Green, power forward slash center for the Memphis Grizzlies right now. Getting a ton of minutes and honestly performing extremely well at this point. That needs to be added. He's a big scorer as well as a rebounder that can help you out in those categories.
Okay, so Jamichael Green is 32% owned. He plays the same position as Marc Gasol. So is he subbing in for Gasol, or is he playing with Gasol in Gasol's center and Jamichael Green's playing power forward?
Correct. Jamichael Green is currently the starting power forward for the Grizzlies with Marc Gasol at center.
You know what? So it looks like Jamichael Green, it depends on the night. He's either averaging 20 or 30 minutes a night, if you want to say he's netting 25. His fantasy value definitely fluctuates. He is either averaging, like his minutes, 25 or about 18. And if I just look at the raw stats, last week he averaged 18 fantasy points, the week before 20. But you know what? Not bad. He's only 32% owned, and at 18 fantasy points, I always tell people the floor on owning a player in weekly fantasy should be 15 points. If you're getting less than 15 points out of any NBA player in a 10 or 12 guy league, I would cut him. Because you can do better. There's guys, every guy on your team should be averaging greater than 15 fantasy points. My take. Okay, next.
We're going to jump into some guys we need to get rid of here quickly.
Okay, before we do, I have to. It's in my DNA to do it. Last week we mentioned Zebo. He's 68% owned. Folks, I'm going to read it to you. The last 3 weeks, averaging 27, 28, and 24 fantasy points. He's getting minutes. He's getting a lot of run. Last two nights, he averaged 33 minutes and 37 fantasy points, and that's just on his last two games alone. He's been doing really well for my team. Again, 68% owned. I say he's worth the pickup. I say he's worth the run. I don't think it's season-long sustainable. Do I think he'll give you a good December and hopefully a good January? I think it's worth it. At that many minutes and that many fantasy points, you have to pick up Zebo Zach Randolph.
Yeah, he needs to be owned ASAP. He's been amazing.
Okay, back to your list.
That works. We are going to go to the guys that you might want to try to get rid of or at some point might have to consider dropping.
All right.
There weren't many that I can saw that are extremely underperforming just to get off the roster based on an owned percentage. So we're going to guys that we're trying to sell off. Brook Lopez of the Lakers. Since Larry Nance has come back, that has hurt Kyle Kuzma's minutes, but it also really drastically hurt Brook Lopez's minutes more than that, because they're starting to play smaller lineups with Randall, Kuzma, as well as Larry Nance at the center positions, where that's really hurt Brook Lopez's production and time.
So Brook Lopez, 94% owned. He's averaging 20 minutes and about 18 fantasy points. And I think your point is the Lakers are not lighting the world on fire, and they're likely going to play more with their youngsters than veterans, right?
That is correct. They're looking to get these young guys involved. And honestly, they're better basketball players at this point than Brook Lopez. Lopez is a nice piece, but based on athleticism and where the league is going, he's almost becoming obsolete right now, so they're using their younger guys to space out the floor.
And folks, to Nader's point, he's right at that waterline where I say you want guys that are going to get you at least 15 points a night. He's averaging 14.6 as of last week, and the week before was 13.1. He's right at that waterline. He practically is cuttable. I think what I would say is where he likely got drafted, you look to trade first, and if you can't find a trade partner, roster, if you've got the roster depth. If you don't have that, cut him.
Yeah, that's exactly it. If someone's still holding on to that name value because he was once a good fantasy player and still could be if he gets traded, I would try to trade him. If you can't, you got to move on and find somebody, one of those guys that we discussed earlier on those ad lists.
Okay, next on the list.
We've definitely talked about this guy. And again, I'm trying to tell you to sell. Shooting guard for the Rockets, Eric Gordon. His production has just fell like no other as soon as Chris Paul returned, and that was definitely expected by me at this point, because there just aren't enough minutes and enough basketballs to go around in that team at this point. It's Chris Paul, it's James Harden, That's about it over there.
Yeah, so you had warned the people many, many weeks ago to sell Eric Gordon high. It was a couple weeks before Chris Paul came out. You warned everybody. Chris Paul came back sooner than expected, and lo and behold, Eric Gordon's value has totally dropped off. While he had a great night the other night where he was actually 30 minutes, 26 fantasy points, the weeks before that he was only averaging 16. So the other night was more the outlier. He's 85% owned. If you can sell, look to sell. I don't think he's worth cutting yet. I would try to sell. And if you can't find a trade partner, I guess you're kind of stock rostering him because he's doing just enough statistically, just over 17 fantasy points where he's like the bottom of your bench, I guess.
Yeah, I wouldn't exactly cut Eric Gordon. He's one of those like you kind of have to hold because he'll give you those good games occasionally. And also, Chris Paul is prone to injuries.
Yep.
So the minute Chris Paul gets out or misses any time, he's back to being an extremely productive player.
Honestly, I'd go find the Chris Paul owner and say, you know what, when Paul's out, here's your substitute. Give me something in return.
That makes a lot of sense. I agree.
Okay, next on your list.
I advocated early in the season for Dwayne Wade to be cut off rosters. And the Cavs decided to take him off their starting lineup. And when that happened, he became a productive player. Dwayne Wade has been great recently. And the only reason I bring his name up now is he needs to be sold right now. Isaiah Thomas is likely coming back here during Christmas time. He wants to play his old Boston Celtic team on Christmas Day, I believe. And as soon as he gets back, I can't imagine Wade's numbers would be what they are now. Just based on who's going to have the ball during the games. I would say if you can sell off Dwayne Wade to a fan or whoever wants to, I'm sure you can get something good for him at this point.
So we had talked about it early in the year. He was 90%+ owned. Dwayne Wade had a lot of commercial name value, wasn't producing. It was difference between real life and fantasy. Last 2 weeks, the Cavs have been on fire. It's like LeBron said, hey, Dwayne, jump on my cape. Let's win. Would they win like 9 of 10 or something?
Yeah.
And you think it's temporary. I think it's temporary out of the guy, too. I would definitely sell high on him if you could. And your point about Isaiah Thomas would be, hey, Isaiah Thomas is likely coming back. You're guessing Christmas, no different than most publications are. And if you could potentially trade for an Isaiah Thomas off somebody who owns him that doesn't have a great record, now would be the time as well, right?
He was definitely on that list for a trade for that we're going to discuss a bit later. But yeah, that's definitely somebody you should go after hard early. Just so, because when it gets close to time, my guy's held him on for this long. He's not looking to ship him off at that point. Right now would be a good time.
Okay, sell Dwayne Wade. Next.
This one might hurt some people because, man, he has been great. But Lou Williams, Clippers. His volume has been unbelievable. He's the point guard, the shooting guard over there. He's benefited from all the injuries that have happened with Blake Griffin out, with...
Patrick Beverly is the big miss on him because I owned Lou Williams to start the year and he started so slow and I said what a messy point guard system.
There were just so many guards over there. It was him,
Patrick Beverly, and Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers is still there as well as Milos Teodosic.
Yeah, and Miles is due back soon, right?
Correct. Next week or so.
And that's the kicker. So basically, you're saying when Miles comes back, the job is going to become Miles and Austin Rivers more than Lou Williams?
Two things. Okay. Lou Williams is more of a sixth man type of player. So once Miles gets back, keeps Austin Rivers at the shooting guard, and Miles takes that starting job. Now, Lou Williams still could be productive, but looking at what the Clippers have done and the history of Lou Williams, to be honest with you, Clippers aren't trying to win anymore. They're trying to ship DeAndre Jordan, trying to ship all their players for assets. Lou Williams has a great contract, could be a great player for a playoff team. I feel eventually he will be shipped off to a playoff team for a second-round pick or some young asset that the Clippers may want because Lou Williams means nothing to them at this point. And he might go back to a reduced role on some other team. And his role will be reduced in the next week or two once Milos comes back. So two reasons why I would try to ship him off as high as you could because he's been great. I just played against him this week, and man, he irritated the crap out of me.
He should have because in the last week, he averaged 35.7, almost 36 fantasy points the week before 30. And that's when Patrick Beverly went down. He's 91% owned. You're basically saying it's not sustainable. You defended it with two different reasons. I agree. He'll likely have pop-off games eventually, but if you can get value for him now, try to sell him now.
Like if you can ship him, like a perfect example would be a Lou Williams for an Isaiah Thomas. Lou Williams is producing well. If someone wants to give up on the injured Isaiah Thomas right now, you poach that as fast as you could.
Not a bad idea. Next on the list.
We're going to go from guys we're going to try to trade for that will really help your team to boost moving forward. One, we discussed Isaiah Thomas.
Okay.
Look, he's coming back in a month.
Yep.
go grab him now because you won't be able to get him in a couple of weeks. They've waited too long.
Yep. So go poach that owner, especially if they have a losing record or they're a little bit freaked out. I saw Isaiah Thomas win all over draft boards. In some drafts, he went third round, some drafts sixth round, some drafts 10th round. It doesn't matter. If that owner's freaked out and they own Isaiah Thomas, go poach for him. Next on the list.
Danilo Gallinari, power forward for those same exact lonely Clippers over there. So with Blake Griffin out for a while, Gallinari has been injured here for a little bit, but he's due back anytime now. He's already in the G League, if I'm not mistaken, getting rehab starts right now. Once he gets back, that offense is basically going to revolve around him. They have nobody else. If you're able to grab him being injured right now, because I don't think he was producing too well before he was injured, I expect the production to skyrocket with being their best offensive player once he gets back. I can easily see him averaging around 20 points per game and about 6 to 7 rebounds a game, along with a couple assists.
Okay, so Daniello Gallinari is 71% owned. He's injured. He's currently assigned to the G League. He's 71% owned, which is pretty good. You're saying you think there's going to be an uptick for what he's going to produce in Fantasyland because of the situation in the Clippers.
Yeah, there's nobody there. He just got paid. He is clearly, at this point now, their best player and their best scorer. He will have everything free reign to do whatever he wants once he gets back.
I'm an old school NBA guy. That name rings a bell to me. He played for Carl, right?
Correct. Denver Nuggets.
Yeah, and he was part great of that whole there. New York Carmelo trade. Anthony yep. trade. Okay. I remember him. He was young and hot at the time.
Oh, he can still score the ball and he can still play. His biggest issue is what's happening now. He's always injured.
Okay.
But while he's not injured, he's pretty darn good.
Okay, so good enough. Next on your list.
The next one, a guy I've been holding and go out and try to grab Mike Conley. Mike Conley is injured, out for another 2 to 3 weeks. I want to say they're trying to get his Achilles right. It's a little strained right now, and honestly, they're just not doing well, so they're kind of holding him out. I say go and grab him because once he comes back fully healthy, if you look at last year's numbers, even the beginning of the year, he was doing well. And it's really hard to find point guards in these fantasy league, and he will be a great asset for your team and should be able to buy low at this point.
So let's make it very simple. He has a ton of value. Memphis has lost 10 in a row without him. So not only when he comes back is he going to get run. The ball's going to be in his hands a whole lot. That's one. But two, he's 95% owned. So you probably need to find a freaked out owner, somebody who's been missing the love that Conley was once providing. I agree. I like. Next on the list.
Now, the last guy I want to discuss to go grab is Dennis Smith Jr. over from the Mavericks. Now, he's doing all right, but I definitely expect his numbers to continue to increase as the season goes on. Similar to the rest of his teams, a common theme, we're talking about these dumpster fire teams. There isn't a worse one right now than Dallas. And his minutes and usage should continue to increase as the season goes on, as they want him to be the main feature of that team. So as the season goes on, he's doing decent right now. I don't think he's doing great. I want to say he's having around 20 fantasy points consistently. But I can definitely see an uptick to close to 25 to 27 fantasy points as the season goes on. And it's somebody you can probably get at a fair price at this point.
So he is 85% owned. He's literally averaging 20 fantasy points in the last 2 weeks. He's getting a lot of run, a point guard, shooting guard for Dallas. You called him a dumpster fire. I agree. The only funky thing about watching Dallas is they don't look horrible, and when they play teams like Cleveland and Golden State, they don't get blown out.
Because they get complete. Those other teams get out-coached. Rick Carlisle is an amazing coach, and the way he coaches them, he doesn't have talent. I feel bad for him almost. That championship he won with the Mavericks a couple years ago wasn't nearly as talented as any team that they beat to get there, but he's such an outstanding coach that he has them in every single game.
Okay, so Dennis Smith Jr., advocate of, okay?
Correct. Other than that, it's all I got today.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what, that was a whole lot of fantasy news that people can use regarding NBA. And folks, I want to remind you, we use the Fantasy Advice Bros platform for both NBA and NFL right now. NFL's heating up in playoffs. We know NBA for weekly. I think we're just a couple of months in at this point, and it's a lot of fun for us, and we talk daily. But we want to remind you, we do have a Facebook page. It's Fantasy Advice Bros at facebook.com. We're open to feedback. We prefer the thumbs up, of course, but if you have players you want us to talk about, news you're wondering about, or different thoughts, we're open to discussing. A lot of times the topics we bring up are from feedback points that we get from you, the people, and so you guys help drive the show as it is. Nader, I had a lot of fun, and I look forward to doing week 9 with you next time.
Same here. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for listening to Fantasy Advice Bros, presented by Gabber Media.